While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does."
And I thought, horrors, maybe I should have brought a conjuring trick along and produced a rabbit out of a hat or something. But sorry, nothing like that today. Conjuring is not my forte. But what we are going to do is to look at God's word, and we're going to see in the book of Acts, which we've been looking at for the last few weeks, how God surprises the early church and how almost day by day something new happened that surprised the people. The events that happened brought joy, and people learned of God as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, spread through the early church. So it was a really exciting, really challenging and really stretching time. And I imagine that at times those apostles and those other members of the early church felt a bit like a piece of rubber sheeting or a piece of cling film that was being stretched in all sorts of ways, and they didn't really know which way they were going to be stretched next. But they saw God working in and through them, and God was changing lives, and the church was growing. And this is because God is the God of surprises. And God was surprising them all the time. And God hasn't stopped surprising his people if they're ready to listen to him today. But the interesting thing is that if you're going to hear God surprising us or see God surprising us, we've got to have hearts and minds that are stirred and are ready to see him and ready to listen to him. And there's no point in praying if your heart and your feet and your hands aren't ready to see God answering those prayers and using you in the ways that he wants to. I was thinking back a lot of years, actually, to the time when Billy Graham did his crusades over the country. Now, you may remember that, or you may be far too young. At the time, I was a youth leader, a crusader leader, and we took some of our teenage boys and girls off to a Billy Graham rally. We'd been praying for them because we really wanted God to touch their lives in a special way. And the time came in this rally when there was a call for anybody who wanted to know more about Jesus, who'd been touched by what Billy Graham had said, to come forward. And as we watched, one or two of ours stood up and went forward. And then one boy, who was a really lively, funny, fun boy, quite a prankster, quite a joker, quite a talented lad, stood up. And before I knew it, I had said, "Gavin, do you know what you're doing?" Gavin did go forward, but my faith and my prayers were not in line at that moment. And Gavin became a fine Christian young man. And it really taught me a lesson. And it really taught me that there's no point in praying and just using words if you're not prepared to be part of God's plan. Well, that was a great surprise for us, a surprise which made us really joyful. Will talked last week about a fantastic surprise to the early church, which was the conversion of Saul on the Damascus Road. When he just was going along in his job of persecuting the Christians, and Jesus appeared to him, and he fell on his knees, and Jesus said to him, "Why, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And that began a change in Saul's life that actually had such repercussions that it even percolates down to us today. Saul became Paul. The shock for the church was incredible, probably one of the biggest ones they had, because the poacher had become a gamekeeper, or if you like, the gamekeeper had become a poacher, or use what metaphor you like, but somebody had been completely turned round and was suddenly talking about what God had done for him. So there was a huge surprise. And God went on surprising the early church as he worked his purposes out. And today our reading is in Acts 10, and it's a really long sort of chapter that tells a whole load of stories and has Peter speaking at the end. And that's what Sharon read to us. But I want us to look at it and look at what happened in those 3 days or so and how God surprised people and what an effect it had on the church. So the two characters that we're thinking about are Peter and Cornelius. And what happened to them was quite a story. Peter, we know, Peter the apostle, the fiery, stubborn man who made mistakes, who loved Jesus with all his heart and wanted to follow him and wanted to serve him. And how at Pentecost, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, was a changed person and went about talking to everybody and teaching and preaching about Jesus. At the time of our story, he was staying in the seaside town of Joppa. And he was staying in the house of a Jewish person called Simon, who was a tanner. Now, work that one through. Work through what a tanner was doing. He was dealing with dead bodies. He was skinning them. Probably he was dealing with animals that were clean to the Jewish faith. But there was Peter staying with him. And it shows us how in the early church, people loved the Lord who were of all different stratas in society. It wasn't just the rich Jewish people. It was the people doing the mundane tasks down by the sea where they had to deal with things that the Jewish people did not like too much. Anyway, Peter obviously was comfortable there. And at the hour for prayer, Peter went onto the roof of Simon's house and there he prayed. We leave it there for a minute. 30 miles north, there was another beautiful seaside resort called Caesarea. This was the administrative centre of the region. The Roman soldiers, an elite force, were stationed there, and the centurion in charge of them was a man called Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, but he was really respected by the Jewish people. He respected them. It was a mutual thing. He was a devout, God-fearing man. And this meant that his whole family were devout and God-fearing. They adopted the Jewish morals and the Jewish ethics. And Cornelius was a man who prayed. And so at 3 o'clock, at the Jewish hour of prayer, Cornelius was on the roof of his house, and as he prayed, he had a vision of an angel. And the angel just said to him, Cornelius, God knows you, and God loves you, and God sees what you do. And now, what you've got to do is to send your men to a place called Joppa, to the house of Simon the Tanner, and there you will find Simon Peter. That's all. No extra info, no idea about what God was going to do. But now the scene is set. You see, Peter praying on the roof of the house in Joppa. Not simultaneously, if you read the story carefully. But and there was Cornelius praying on the roof of his house in Caesarea. And God started to work. And so Cornelius, being a man under orders, obeyed the orders of the angel and sent his men down to Joppa to the house of Simon the Tanner. So some hours later, 30 miles later, these men arrived in Joppa. And Peter was there. But we're not quite up to that, because what happened to Peter when he was on the roof? Peter knew the rules of Judaism. He'd been brought up as a Jew. He was a devout Jew. He tried to obey the laws that God had set. And so Peter, praying on the roof, hungry possibly, suddenly saw a vision of a sheet laid out. And on this sheet were all sorts of animals and birds and reptiles and all sorts of creatures, which to a Jew, some were clean, some were unclean. And what did God say to him? Kill and eat. Kill and eat. What did Peter say? Peter said, but Lord, I'm a devout Jew. I don't eat anything that's unclean. Uncleanliness is not my way. And God said, kill and eat. And a third time God said, kill and eat. And then the sheet went. And Peter thought about it. Peter mulled it over, as you do. Next thing, knock on the door, three men from Caesarea, three of Cornelius's soldiers. Cornelius wants you to come to his house. Peter, obedient, sensing that God was at work in all this, decided that he would go. So he invited these men into his house, something again that a Jewish household wouldn't necessarily do, would not invite Gentiles to come and stay. But they stayed the night there. And we're beginning to see how God is working in Peter's thinking, how God is helping Peter to realize that the gospel is not just for Jews, but it's actually for Gentiles too. So Peter went with the people the following morning and went to Cornelius's house. And there we have him in the story that Sharon read to us, where he talks to the people in the house. Cornelius had set up his whole household. He got his family and his friends and his servants all there because he knew this was going to be something so important. And Peter, surprised by God, a devout Jew, began to speak in the house of a Gentile, also surprised by God. And this is what God was doing. And this is what God does when the Holy Spirit's at work. Surprises all round. Peter stood up and talked. But what I want us to do is not for a minute to unpack what Peter said, but to think about the implications of this story. The first thing that strikes me is that God's timing is always perfect. Look at how he had people praying, people hearing him, people 30 miles away, and yet the communication was worked out. God had to teach Peter through that vision on the roof of what this next stage in his mission was to be. And he timed it perfectly. And then what about Cornelius? Cornelius was a man who was very good at his job. He was a commander of an elite force. He was, he would be a man who is good at his job, a man who was a churchgoer, a man who does all the right sort of things, a man who believes in God and has a sort of faith. But actually, he was a man who needed the touch of Jesus. He was a man who needed the Holy Spirit to fill him so that he could go on and be the person that Jesus wanted him to be. And so Peter was brought to his house. And Peter explained. He talked about Jesus. And he said, you know that it's unusual for a Jew to come into my house. But God has shown me that I should come to you. God doesn't have any favorites. And I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I'm here to tell you about his life and his death and his resurrection and his coming back, his filling us with the Holy Spirit and him building his church on earth. And Peter explained this all to these Jewish people who, we understand, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they were baptized. And this is because Cornelius sought God, and because God sought Cornelius and his family and gave them the opportunity to hear the good news. This is how God works. And when we're ready to listen to him and ready to obey him, that's what he's doing. But am I a Cornelius? Am I a person for whom my faith is just a bumbling part of life? A faith that's not necessarily very alive. Do I actually need to listen again to the sort of thing that Peter said and to find that the Holy Spirit is working afresh in me? Those people in Cornelius's household were baptized as a sign of what God had done for them. The next thing is Peter. Peter was humble enough to listen to what God was saying. He was so enthusiastic about his faith. He was ready for God to surprise him, ready for God to open doors, more doors, spread the gospel far and wide. And this is why we are sitting here today, because people like Peter realized that the gospel was not just for the Jews. So Peter came and spoke. Are we ready to speak about our faith? We might not all be missionaries. We might not all be talented preachers and evangelists and all those other things. But actually, are we ready to open our mouths when there's a faith opportunity? Probably we're not too courageous sometimes. God can change us. And then we've got another surprise. A surprise that was for the whole church. A surprise that Peter had to realize that the gospel is not just for Gentiles, but it's for everybody. And I love that verse that he said as he began to speak. I realize now how true it is that God does not show favoritism. What's ingrained in us? God has no favorites. Things like wealth and position, things like language and race, things like gifting, all those things God is blind to because God looks on the heart. God uses us in the context he's put us. What Peter had to learn is something that we have to learn day by day as we deal with our prejudices, as we deal with our blind spots. And look again at that confession we had earlier, because it actually prays about the times when we're deaf to things, when we're blind to things, when we don't speak when we should. Maybe we ought to use that sort of confession a lot more and ask God to really fill us, to really make us his people. And so the question for us is, are our attitudes to others generous? Is our thinking courageous? Are we open and ready to do whatever God wants us to do? Or are we bound by fear and blinkers? And finally, something that I touched on earlier. When we pray, are our hearts and our hands and our heads part of what our words are saying? Because it's all very well to pray empty phrases, and then when God wants to do something, when God wants to surprise us, we're not ready. Just like me and Gavin. God had a wonderful surprise there ready, and I was trying to stop it. Gavin, do you know what you're doing? You know? We've got to be in tune with God. So as we reflect on those 3 or 4 days in the life of the early church that are all written down in chapter 10, we need to remember that God wants to speak to us. God wants to surprise and challenge us as individuals and as a church. And the reason for this is that God is the God of surprises. Gerard Hughes wrote, "God is uncontrollable beyond anything we can think of or imagine. He calls us out of ourselves and beyond ourselves. He is the God of surprises, always working anew." Today, as we remember people in Acts, in the early church, let's pray that we too will be ready for God to surprise us in wonderful ways as a church and as individuals. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you're the God of surprises who delight in blessing us. Give us ears to listen to you, eyes to see what you're doing, hearts ready to work for you. And may we respond to your surprises with courage and delight. Amen.